Hello and welcome to another episode of the Prop Swap Podcast. We are your hosts, Ian Epstein
and Luke Pergandy.
And we are also the founders of Prop Swap, the first marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Thank you so much for joining us this week. We've got another great episode for you. We will talk a little bit about the conference tournaments that are right around the corner, talk about the string of long shots currently going on the PGA Tour. But first, I thought, you know, early March is the best time to talk about NFL. In fact, there's probably no bad time to talk about the NFL, but NFL Combine was going on this week. Not much in terms of drama, in terms of who will be number one like there was last year. And actually, I've got a good story I'll talk about. But, you know, what, Luke, what are your thoughts about the Combine? I mean, it's always crazy to me that fans are showing up to the NFL Combine. I mean, it's just there's just no other sport like it.
For sure. I mean, if this doesn't separate football from everything else, what, you know, just one of a few different things that makes football the king, that there's fans actually going to a combine. Yeah, I mean, look, the Bears are literally the perfect example of this. Massive city, you know, second biggest city in America. Bears are the most popular team in the city, and everything is riding on who is going to be the next quarterback, right? I mean, it's a massive decision that needs to be made, and we've had a guy that we thought in Justin Fields was going to be the answer. Probably wasn't. There's certainly been some other things we could have helped him on, offensive line, consistent coaching, etc. Offensive coach instead of Eberflus, but it seems like he's moving on. And it's literally make or break for the Bears and who they're going to take. So I understand why the combine is so important. Now it's ironic that Caleb Williams, USC's quarterback, did nothing in Indianapolis this week. It seems like that's still what's going to happen, that the Bears are going to take him. But I think as a story you'll tell, there's a lot of smoke. It is smokescreen season right now in terms of faking out and, you know, gaining leverage so that in this situation, there's many different storylines to the draft. But in this situation, hey, will someone take Justin Fields off our hands? Because maybe we might start him next year, right? It's all about like who's willing to give up some draft picks for Fields and or maybe they're even the Bears are even entertaining trading back from one and taking a Jaden Daniels or something. So tons of different outcomes. Just quickly on Indianapolis, ran into Lane Johnson's agent here in Chicago over the weekend. He's a Chicago guy. You know, he of Lane Johnson's $21 million a year contract. So that agent did pretty well on that deal. Of course, Jason Kelce retired Monday afternoon. That was an incredible speech. If you haven't watched it, highly suggest watching it. Really good speech. But point is, he was just telling stories. I mean, it's classic. There's nothing else to do in Indianapolis besides basically go to St. Elmo's, which is like the steakhouse that Peyton Manning kind of put on the map. It's a very famous steakhouse there. And he was just like, yep, every single table at the combine is prospect, agent, parents, prospect, agent, parents. And you're just pitching them on what you think they can do for their kids. So it sounds like a fun weekend. We've done Indianapolis enough over the years for work. So didn't drive out there, but yeah, it's a fun weekend. And lastly, people always ask me, why does Indy get so many events? The answer is Indianapolis guarantees hotel rooms to the NFL. Like they're like, hey, we will give you all these hotel rooms in other cities like a Chicago or LA or something. It's like, nah, we're not gonna come out of pocket and guarantee you all these rooms, but Indy will do that.
Yeah, and I saw, you know, people were kind of complaining maybe a little bit about the NBA All-Star game being in Indianapolis, but it's like those are two very different events, right? Like people, the combine is like strictly there for business, whether you're a coach, a scout, an agent, a player, like no one, you're not looking for nightlife. Like if anything, that's only spells trouble, but the NBA All-Star weekend's a totally different thing. And I can see why, you know, a cold snowing night in Indianapolis for the NBA All-Star weekend is not as appealing. You had mentioned Caleb Williams not throwing or running. Same thing with Drake May. In fact, but I mean, at least they showed up. I believe Marvin Harrison didn't even show up. Marvin Harrison hasn't even hired an agent. And basically, you know, agents pay out of pocket for them to go to get training and do certain things to get them ready for the combine and pro day. But then the player has to pay them back once they get the contract. And so Marvin Harrison, and maybe this is his dad's advice, was like, you don't need to do anything. And they're like, you don't need to prove yourself anymore. Like, don't waste the money. Mm-hmm. I think he's working out at Ohio State. And someone else brought this up that I thought was a good point. It was just like, the training that you do to impress the combine is not exactly the best training that relates to playing well on the field, right? Totally. It's like, are you training for the Olympics or are you training to be a football player? And so I do wonder, though, almost like if, look, the combine isn't going anywhere and there's a ton of players who need it to increase their draft stock, but will the popularity kind of decrease if, you know, goes from the top three guys, top four guys to not doing anything to then it's the top 15 guys to then it's the top 30 guys. And, you know, having the top of the draft be there and, you know, testing out, I think is part of the appeal. And that kind of leads me to last year's draft and combine, where there definitely was a lot more question marks around the top of the draft. Who's going to go number one? Who's going to be the best quarterback? I think it's pretty safe to say who we know is who was the best quarterback out of that draft, and that's CJ Stroud. Now granted, Anthony Richardson got hurt early on the season, but also that's because he was running for his life, it felt like, a lot of the time. But this story from last year about Anthony Richardson, I think, is a great way to kind of loop the combine back into sports betting. So everyone knew kind of last year when he was at Florida that, like, he was just an athletic stud, right? I mean, could throw the ball a million miles, super fast, big. And so there's a customer who, you know, I'm close to. And so we were kind of talking about it. And I, in fact, I'm going to take a little credit. I kind of gave him the suggestion about looking at this bet in early December, like pre-bowl games of 2022, a customer bet Anthony Richardson to be the number one overall pick at 200-1 odds. Again, people were saying this guy shouldn't have gone the first round at this point in time. The customer made multiple tickets at the time. Of course, that was, again, my suggestion. And then a week before the combine, he sold a $10 ticket for $115. And then the day that he you know, ran and threw the combine, he sold a $20 ticket for $350. And then a few days after the combine, now, meanwhile, after the combine and the odds started moving and settling, he settled in at like 5-1 to be the number one overall pick. And again, this person got 200-1, I think, on some tickets, and then 75-1 on other tickets. But 3 days after the combine, he sold a $30 ticket for $800. All in, they sold 11 different tickets that had a combined $195 bet amount. They sold those tickets for a sum total of $3,728. And as we all know, Richardson was not the number one pick, but it was a great kind of case study in that, like, coming out of the combine, there's always going to be someone, and usually it's a quarterback, that people didn't even expect to go day one or round one, and then all of a sudden they're being talked about in the top half of the first round. And we'll get to another one of those guys who I think could be this year's candidate later this podcast. But I thought that was an incredible story, and, you know, it won't go down maybe in the prop swap lore, but I do think that's like kind of one of the best prop swap stories that we've ever had.
It's a great point. I think the NFL draft is just one of those things that you can gamble on that isn't decided on the field. You know, we talk about votes for MVP and stuff like that, defensive player of the year. It's decided by humans. It's not decided by outcome on the field or court or arena. And this is just a great example where you can bet on the public opinion or even a coach's opinion or a GM's opinion or an owner's opinion, because that's all that matters, right? It just takes one GM to love a guy, and the bet can pay. And in this situation, the bet didn't even win. It just, public opinion shifted on a guy that didn't have a ton of tape but is an athletic freak, and he made so much money on it. So it's a great example of something you can bet on.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, jury's not totally out, but I would venture to say that, you know, if the Panthers, let's just say CJ Stroud was an option, if the Panthers could choose Bryce Young or Anthony Richardson, maybe they would go with Anthony Richardson between those two guys. But we haven't even reached peak smokescreen season. That will be coming up in the weeks.
Plenty of time to get your bets in.
Well, you know, I was looking today. The menu is not that big yet. And I do think that is also a function of, and I'm sure we'll talk about it more as it gets closer, but sportsbooks get absolutely crushed on this event. And the more they get crushed, the later they put bets out, the smaller the menu is, because this isn't an absolute thing. You know, obviously there can be a lot of steam where things move and it's kind of on fake news, but sportsbooks get absolutely crushed on this event. So there are bets you can make right now. And like I said, we'll get to one of my favorites later, but the menu is not big right now, but I would look after March Madness, after the Masters, maybe in the couple weeks beforehand, that's when it'll really start to open up. Speaking of March Madness, the other fun thing about this month that happens beforehand are these conference tournaments. I saw someone kind of bring up a good point, like March Madness starts now, because for a lot of these smaller conferences that are one bid conferences, like their do or die season starts now. And look, last year, Florida Atlantic was in one of these conference tournaments that started the week before all the major conferences. I've talked about this before, but I did a little more research of just how kind of important success in these conference tournaments can be when picking your teams and your brackets. Of the Elite Eight teams in last year's March Madness, four of the eight won their conference tournament outright: San Diego State, Florida Atlantic, Texas, and Gonzaga. Three of the eight lost in the semifinals: Creighton, Miami, UConn. Only one team did not win at least multiple games, and that was Kansas State. So again, the big conferences start next week, but I think this is now is the time to kind of start looking at teams. Again, the evidence just shows right there, like seven of the Elite Eight teams won at least two games in their conference tournament. So I think it's definitely something you gotta be looking for. And you can kind of start to see some of these teams that maybe you haven't spent much time focusing on.
Yeah. I forgot that UConn lost in the semis. That's crazy. And how dominant they were in a year that a lot of teams, like last year's tournament, had the most upsets ever. If you add up all the long shots that beat favorites, like for UConn to just smash everyone last year in a really topsy turvy tournament, that's wild. They just went scorched earth once they got to the national tournament.
Yeah, I mean, look, and Creighton also in the Big East that reached the Elite Eight, the lost the semifinals too. I believe the final was Marquette over Xavier in the Big East finals, but I mean, look, yeah, reaching the semifinals of the Big East tournament is still no small feat. That's a really good conference. But something that kind of popped out is obviously this is not new news, but like no teams from the SEC, no teams from the Big Ten, no teams from the AC. Oh no, Miami's from the ACC, but no Pac-12. So you know, the rule doesn't mean like, oh, if you win your conference tournament, you're going to do well, because guess what? Purdue won their conference, the Big Ten conference tournament last year, and they lost Arizona. To a 16 seed in the first round. Arizona, they lost as a 2 seed. So it doesn't always, you know, one does not always equal the other, but I would say that if a team loses in the first round of their conference tournament, generally speaking, that could be a cross off. Anything else to add on conference tournaments before we move on?
No, that's great statistics. Good job pulling that. I think that's critical to look at when you're filling out a bracket. I was thinking about that this morning, just like how much weight to put on these conference tournaments, and the answer is a fair amount. You don't want to come limping into the national tournament.
Yeah, and look, and we see it with a lot of other sports too. I mean, the Chiefs were playing almost, you know, playoff football for the last couple of weeks of the season, right? Same thing with the Bills, although obviously that didn't pan out. But, you know, yeah, you, in, no matter what the sport is, you definitely don't like the team that that's limping into the postseason. Mm-hmm. Moving on, going to talk a little golf, which we haven't done much this year. Here is a list of the opening odds for each of the PGA Tour winners so far this year. This is odds courtesy of the Westgate in Las Vegas. Chris Kirk, 200-1. Grayson Murray, 400-1. Nick Dunlap, 300-1. Matthew Pavon, 125-1. Wyndham Clark, 60-1. Nick Taylor, 125-1. Hideki Matsuyama, 80-1. Jake Knapp, 40-1. And then after a late finish on Monday, the most recent winner, Austin Eckroat, 100-1. What stands out about the list to you, Luke?
Who? Like, obviously, we know Wyndham Clark from the U.S. Open last year. But and of course,
Hideki won the Masters.
The Masters, of course. Yeah. But outside of those two, and Wyndham, that was like May. I want to say that was a May championship, May of 23. So before May of last year, we knew of one of these guys on that list. That's crazy.
Yeah, I think I've heard of Nick Taylor. I've heard of Chris Kirk. Could not tell you what they look like, but look, you know, I look at this list, and on one hand, it's the epitome of parity, which is one of the best parts of sports. But on the other hand, to your point, I've heard of like half these guys, maybe less, which doesn't exactly get me to tune in on the weekend. Now, this week's tournament, the Arnold Palmer Invitational, has a way better field than some of these other tournaments. But, you know, is this, I mean, if you look at like this last week's field for the Cognizant Classic, and you looked at the LIV field, and you just remove the titles, you'd be like, oh my God, you would want to watch the LIV field. Yeah. I mean, like, there's so many of the familiar faces and major champions playing in LIV. And so, again, while it's great kind of for sports betting and parity, it's not great in terms of like just general interest in something, because guess what? People like to watch and bet on things that they know and teams of players that they know.
Yeah, that you have confidence on, that you've seen golf before, like throwing $50 down on Matthew Pavon. That's, you know, it's like, I've never watched him play. I have no idea where he's from. Like, that's just not as fun. You like to golf on guys that you know where they're from, you know, they went to college, you know, a couple. You don't have to know his life story, but just one or two sentences about a guy, typically why we bet on people. So, the last thing I would say about LIV, I believe it's finally it's on WGN now here in Chicago, which is, you know, popular TV station in Chicago. And I mentioned last year I saw it on San Diego on just broadcast TV. I think it was on NBC in San Diego last summer. So it seems like they're starting to cut TV deals where you could not sit on you don't have to sit on YouTube on your computer and watch this stuff. You can put on your broadcast TV, your big screen, and sit there and watch. So that's cool. Like, I've always kind of said, I'm a fan of LIV. I think it's good for the sport. I think competition's good. The PGA Tour kind of got a little bit comfy. I agree with you, having these lists of golfers that you've never heard of, that's not as fun. So, but yeah, maybe as LIV starts to get proliferated, people ask me all the time, like, is LIV on every sports book? Can you bet on LIV on every traditional sports book?
I want to say it's like it's dependent on the state almost, because I don't think I can bet on LIV in Colorado. So I almost want to say it's state by state, not necessarily sports book by sports book. You know, listen, I'll fully admit I've watched maybe 30 seconds of LIV golf. Again, it's I think, again, the fact that I can't bet on in Colorado, the fact that it's not on a major network on the weekend. But I do know this, it's a shotgun start, for all the rounds, which, if you're unfamiliar, that basically means that all the golfers tee off at the same time, just on different starting holes. And I gotta imagine that they've thought about this, or maybe they'll change it, or maybe they like it the way it is. But in my mind, that really eliminates the drama on the final round, right? Because one of the best parts of watching golf is the leaders are coming up 18 and, you know, the guy has to sink a par putt to win it. But if it's a shotgun start, that's like one leader's on 12 and the other leader's on 6. And it just, it kind of eliminates that drama. So, that's kind of one of the, I think a reason why maybe it hasn't garnered more popularity. But, you know, and then, yeah, I mean, but it's like there's so many guys that you're familiar with that have that I'm probably going to be betting on come Masters time. And so it's like you'd like to see how they're playing in the weeks leading up to it. And so, look, last year, I think they dispelled any rumors of like, you know, people playing on the LIV, you know, like, was there a lack of competition that would have affected them? And I think, you know, Brooks Koepka and other guys kind of dispelled any of those rumors. So I think they will be, they'll show up to the Masters and play well. But yeah, I mean, I'm kind of caught, right? Because it's great that we're seeing long shots and it's not the same, you know, single digit guys, not Scottie mm-hmm. Scheffler, you know, mm-hmm. every week. But on the other hand, it's like, I kind of want to watch my favorite golfers. I don't know. Yeah. They got to figure this out. I don't know. I mean, they got to come to a resolution and bring all the best players into one league. But speaking of coming together, I think it's that time of the show for Stake or Swap. First up, we will be going back to the NFL. Speaking of the draft, specifically, JJ McCarthy to be drafted by the Broncos. You can bet on which team will draft certain players. So JJ McCarthy to be drafted by the Broncos, currently 6-1 at FanDuel. I will go first. I am staking the Broncos to draft JJ McCarthy. This is compared to 5-1 at MGM and 3.5-1 at DraftKings. Hmm. The Broncos just officially waived Russell Wilson and like an $82 million dead cap space. They are currently sitting with the 12th pick as we record this. Obviously, things can change as the draft gets closer. McCarthy seems to have been the biggest standout of the QBs that threw and ran at the combine. The other favored teams right now to draft McCarthy are the Giants, the Vikings, and the Falcons. But if you look at like the next team odds, Justin Fields is -275 to play in Atlanta, and Kirk Cousins is -175 to re-sign in Minnesota. So in my opinion, I'd scratch those two teams off. And then I just don't see the Giants bailing on Daniel Jones this quick. I mean, they just gave him a big contract extension. He was hurt last year. And so I just, you know, the Giants are currently sitting with the 6th pick. And so unless maybe they trade back, I do not see the Giants drafting JJ McCarthy with the 6th overall pick. Right now, mock drafts have the tackle from Notre Dame, Joe Alt, being drafted mm-hmm. by the Giants at 6. So the Broncos clearly need a quarterback. You'd think McCarthy would still be there at 12. Now the Broncos could trade up and maybe, you know, to like the third pick or whatever and get Jaden Daniels, who knows, but and then just the last thing, I did not come up with this. Other people have said it. I think it's a little bit of a lazy comparison, but people are saying that JJ McCarthy kind of has some Drew Brees, I've heard some JJ McCarthy, Drew Brees. I don't know. Maybe that's just the color of their skin and their height. Yeah. But obviously Sean Payton, the coach of the Broncos, and won a Super Bowl with Drew Brees. So I do think McCarthy does make sense in Denver. And so 6-1 right now for the Broncos to draft him.
Okay. Yeah. I like it. I will also stake this. Things to be concerned about. I don't think the Giants have to give up on Daniel Jones to still draft JJ McCarthy. The Packers did it with Aaron Rodgers on the roster and they drafted Jordan Love. Like, I think there is a world where the Giants could pick McCarthy and still start Daniel Jones for this year, maybe even one more year. So, but I still think there's value at 6-1, especially with DraftKings at 3.5-1. And obviously Russell Wilson's gone. That's a fact. So no debating that. They're picking a quarterback somewhere. So, and I agree with you. The landmine of the Giants picking McCarthy, I agree 6 is too high, so they'd have to trade back. So that's a bet on two things happening, trade back and take McCarthy. So I agree. I think Fields goes to Atlanta. I think Cousins stays in Minnesota. So that's process of elimination. You got the Broncos. So I agree. Yeah, I mean, he's McCarthy, the Drew Brees comparison. I mean, McCarthy's 6'2". So I thought Brees is like barely 6 foot. So I don't know. We'll save our NFL handicapping for another episode, but I think he'll be good. We didn't really see much in college, so it's just kind of tough to go off of. That kind of a little bit reminds me of like a Mitch Trubisky who had 1 year to go off of and not much tape. And obviously Trey Lance had like virtually no tape, and there's none of those guys ended up well. So that'd be my concern. But like I said, we'll save the handicapping for another episode.
Yeah. Look, I'll just rattle off the teams that are from 4 to 11. The Cardinals, they don't need a quarterback. Chargers, they don't need a quarterback. Giants, we just discussed. Titans, they're probably not taking another quarterback with Will Levis being drafted last year. The Falcons, again, I think the odds say that they're going to end up with Justin Fields. The Bears, again, they'll probably have taken a quarterback at number one. The Jets, they've got a quarterback, and then the Vikings, again, I think the odds say that Cousins will resign there. So, Giants have to trade back, but they could still take a quarterback later in the draft, like Bo Nix or Penix or Hartman. But I think that'd be a reach for them in like the top 10 to take McCarthy. Moving on, let's go back to college basketball. Gonna talk Illinois Fighting Illini, currently 35-1 to win the national championship at MGM. Luke, we will start with you first. Are you staking or swapping Illinois?
Yeah, I am gonna stake Illinois at 35-1 at MGM. They're 25-1 at FanDuel. We are selling a ton of Illinois tickets on PropSwap over the past couple weeks. Basically a bet on Big Ten basketball. That's how I kind of view this wager. Purdue, of course, the shining star. They're 26-3, 15-3 in conference. Illinois is 13-5 in conference. I mean, they're killing it. And I feel like it's not really getting talked about on a national scale. So, you know, if you agree that the Big Ten is a legitimate contender this year, they usually have their hats in, you know, their hands in the hat, or whatever the phrase is.
Hats
in the ring. Thank you. Now, we just pointed out that the Big Ten had no representatives in Elite Eight last year. I think that's an outlier. I do trust the Big Ten, generally speaking, good shooters, you know, cohesive teams, et cetera. So, you know, they're second place. They're second place in a Big Ten where Purdue is the number one team in the country. They're obviously in first place in the Big Ten. So it's a bet on that, 35-1. I don't think this team wins a national championship, but I think they can win a couple of games.
I am going to swap Illinois right now. I am not a buyer of Big Ten basketball when it comes to the tournament. And then just moreover, their defense scares me. They are currently ranked 196th in the country in terms of points allowed. They are giving up on average 73 points a game on defense. In comparison, the number one defense in the country is Houston. They're giving up 57 points a game. Illinois also cannot defend the three ball. They're 197th in the country defending the three. Their opponents shoot 34% beyond the arc. Again, Houston, for comparison, Houston's 22nd in the country, but they're closer to, they're sub 31%, 30.7. So again, it's small differences, but the lack of defense scares me. And as I've seen as an Arizona fan, you can play a small school that just shoot, you know, doesn't have size, but just shoots the lights out from three. And you know, if you're used to playing a certain style in the Big Ten, and you're not used to seeing just a bunch of small kids running around shooting threes, then you don't really have a way to adapt in mm-hmm. that game. And so, yeah, the defense scares me, and I'm just, yeah, not a buyer on Big Ten, on Big Ten basketball come tournament time. It's just two different brands, I think, of basketball. So for those reasons, I am swapping Illinois. So that will do it for this week's episode. Stick around. We've got some guests coming up in the future weeks. Please make sure to subscribe, leave a rating, and we will talk to you next week.